First Corinthians chapter 16. We're concluding, and just for your information, what we're planning to do in May, I would like to begin a study through the Bible, and I'll be using a program which I have modified tremendously, but it's
J. Vernon McGee.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on. Anyway, yeah, one of these days, see, Rich is he's recorded all these fantastic studies over here, and I'm gone. He's just going to keep on playing.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys keep coming here to men's Bible study, and the recording goes on and on and on, and you'll be hearing. You'll say, "Are we still in Hebrews yet?" Anyway,
'06.
'06.
When you're gone, I want to go with you.
Oh, you're going to go with me? All right, I love it. But
89 this week.
Are you really Art?
Art?
Art? 89. Art is 89 years. 89. Well, let's see now, Bob. How?
90.
Hey. Come on now.
I need to be second all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Oh, is this a great span in here? I mean, here we are. Just, I tell you. Yes, Dave.
Got a note on an email that Chuck Colson is not expected to live.
Oh, really? Yeah. He has cancer? Is that what he...
Yeah,
Chuck Colson. Bless his heart. Wow. Well, let's keep he and his family in prayer, too, you know. I'm sorry? Well, I know. Phil, hey, that's great. We've got to keep these guys going here. I love it. But what I am planning to do is, like I said, I'm going to walk through the Bible and using the Bethel Bible Series material. But like I say, I've modified it, made it into a Bible study and the whole thing. What I really have a joy and concern for is the fact that so often we don't know the Bible. And we get a little piece here, a little piece there. You know, here we are in Corinthians, and hopefully you guys have got things together as far as Corinthians is concerned. But I want you to see the whole picture. And I often say to people, when you start a puzzle, where do you begin when you start a puzzle?
Edges.
I think the majority of us do that. Some of us are a little strange, but that's okay. But, you know, we start with the edges. And I think a lot of times we don't really have the edges as far as the Bible is concerned. What is the main message? How does it all fit together? Then you have all these different books included in the Bible, and sometimes like a piece of the puzzle, and we don't quite know where it fits. And what's the purpose of that piece, and how does it all come together? And that's really what I want to be able to do. So in that Bible study, we'll walk you from Genesis through Revelation. It'll take a few years, but that's okay. You got nothing better to do. But
we did 18 months in Hebrews.
Hey.
You're on Revelation, so this is...
Well, that's okay. I mean,
we're in 2020 already.
That's right. That's right. When I get to be Art's age. Okay, very good. Well, listen, let's take a look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And keep in mind now, we've had quite a journey here through the book of Corinthians. And you notice, some of you new guys here, I entitled this whole study, God Speaks to Californians. Because a lot of the problems in that church of Corinth were similar to us here in California. Problems and divisions and you know, pride issues and just a variety of things that reflect our own culture. But it's so neat here. Now we have just walked through chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, which dealt with a very important theological question. What about the resurrection? And here we just walked through Easter together. And, you know, we celebrated the resurrection. What is it? Well, we realized the tomb is empty. And then the issue is, if there is no resurrection, then you are still in your sins. I mean, there's no literal, physical, tomb empty, body gone resurrection, that you and I have no hope and no assurance of hope that there is something beyond. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of pipe dreams and nice ideas, Bring your flowers, bring your poetry to your funerals, and, you know, sing Kumbaya, or whatever you want to do, and make you feel better, but there is no hope. It's just a bunch of philosophy and nice thinking. But because a tomb is empty, something happened in history, is the only way that we know that it's real. See? So Paul goes through that whole thing, tries to explain the whole thing, and I love this. The very last verse, he says in verse 58, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And so here we are, and all of a sudden, he goes on. He says, now let's talk about this work of the Lord, chapter 16, verse 1. Now, about the collection for God's people. He starts right away with the work of the Lord. And what do we need to be involved in? He says, well, we have this collection. There's a need. And the brothers and sisters over there in Jerusalem, they're going through a very difficult time. The famines and all this kind of stuff that's going on here. Let's make this a collection. And so then starts off, and I'm going to read it through verse 9 here. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend winter so that you can help me on my journey whenever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit, but I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Stop right there. So we're looking at this, and again, the whole idea is that if the resurrection is real, then we realize investments that we make in terms of the work of ministry, I mean, these are investments that are for eternity. I mean, you're investing in the lives of people that come to know the Lord, and not just now, but it's for eternity. So as we look at this, how I kind of built on this lesson, my theme was, when blessed by God financially, Christians express their gratitude by blessing others financially. So we started off with the first four verses, and we're still in that process. Let me pick it up at question number B. What specific instructions does Paul give in verse 2, and why do you suppose this was good practical advice? What did you come up with? So someone, first I'll read verse 2. Read 16, 2. Who would read it and make a comment on that? See, hand your friend. Go ahead. Read it first. Verse 2.
On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will have to be made.
Okay, wait. What? So this is good advice.
Probably sets a specific time.
Okay.
You know, and save ahead of time.
Right.
So you don't do it at the last minute.
Okay.
It's like when the rent is due, you know that the rent has to
right.
be paid while you go out of the house. So these things are very specific. And then it says that when he comes, it doesn't have to be made just because he's there. Then they start a collection.
Okay. Why is that? Why is that a good idea?
Well, it shows
that
you thought about it ahead of time.
Okay. Anybody else? Some thoughts?
He's teaching them to give.
Okay, he's teaching giving and making it part of your lifestyle. Gary?
It's between you and the Lord, not you and other people.
Okay, so he makes it clear there too. He says, you know, in keeping with his income. He's not saying, you know, you have to give X amount of dollars, but hey, as the Lord lays in your heart, right? Anyone else? Yes, go ahead.
Every time there's money in my pocket, I find that there's a hole in my pocket.
Hey, check that guy, okay? I'm going to follow him around when he walks. He's got all our money. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't plan ahead, and, you know, I mean, this to me is, why is this such good advice for us when we think about giving and tithing and forth to church? Because this very thing, right?
It gives you an opportunity to participate with others doing God's work.
Excellent.
And give God.
You cannot give God, that's true. And you realize, it's so easy to have that hole in your pocket, isn't it? And if you're not thinking about it ahead of time and knowing X amount of dollars has to go here as your rent, it can be gone real quick. Jack?
Just reemphasizes the importance of planning and pre-planning. Plan.
It does. Phil?
It's not yours in the first place. God gave you.
Beautiful. Now, that's a very important point, because there's got to be a process the way you think about money. Because, as I shared with you last week, you have to understand some basic principles. When you become a Christian, you've got to understand something. It is, you know, what happens if you become a Christian? Galatians 2:20. I am what? Crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Who now, to whom do I belong? I belong to Him, don't I? So everything I have, everything that I own, belongs to Him. So now your whole attitude is, well, if it doesn't belong to me, now you become a steward, some person that's in charge of what He gives you. And the neat thing is, when you think about it, it's sort of like saying, okay, Lord says, I'm going to make you in charge of 90% of all that's there. I'm specifically, you're in charge of that, but keep 10% aside for me or whatever, but I'm just using that as an illustration. Keep a certain portion aside that belongs to me. Now, if you have that attitude, it's not, well, it's my money and I got to dig into my pockets. Now, I got a few shekels left over. I can throw a little tip for Jesus, you know, give him a little tip. Whole different attitude.
I definitely centering on the stewardship of money.
Yes.
And being responsible.
Right.
And the Lord is always putting in, you should give from a cheerful heart.
Right.
So this storing it up for God.
Right.
So when that Paul does come to teach, that it's not a distraction.
Great.
It's not Paul asking for, I need the funds now. I need to raise the funds.
Exactly.
It's already pre-done in advance. So right. He could just come and teach, and it has nothing to do with the money. It's
already pre-planned. Awesome. That's right. Because otherwise you start building your sermons. I mean, I preach sermons like that too. My whole sermons are wrapped around, we're heading toward this building program, and I want to make the goal is X amount of dollars. I'm going to, you know, promote that. And yeah, I can promote that, but Paul's not a preach. Well,
I focused in on the word design.
Okay, design.
I don't think that God or Paul wants us to be struggling with things about money. Just make your decision. Man up. Make your decision. And don't struggle with this.
Right.
How much should I give? When should I give it? You know,
exactly.
Does he mean whatever?
Exactly.
You know, the struggles that people might go through.
And that goes to this business of tithe as well.
Yeah.
Where tithe comes, that's an Old Testament law, okay? Now, if you want to use that as a guide, wonderful. But it's not a law. It's something you've got to wrestle with and say, that's good for me. I like that. And that's a good principle that I'm going to own up to it as well. But well said. Don?
I was going to, when you were talking about someone said, a hole in the pocket when I was much younger, my married days, I'm still married now. Well, I used to say, you got a hole in your pocket. Well, now it took decades before I realized, you know, hang on to your money.
Yes.
And I said, yes. I did not think he knew what he was talking about.
Yes. It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very true.
Back story.
Fernando. Yes. Good to have you back, my friend. Awesome.
The real meaning of the money was love.
Love. Very good.
But
right here.
Very important.
Right. Exactly.
That
right.
The other people care for them.
Yes.
That way,
that's good, right.
Christian, Jewish Christian, and Gentile Christian, right. Together in the love of Christ.
See, and I think that's a very important point. You realize that the church, you know, how did this
the church continue like this? Well, it starts off with a Jewish center, and then it spreads through Gentiles, and now the Gentiles are coming back and saying, hey, we love you as Jew, because this is in Jerusalem now, the Jewish center, and so they're expressing their love for the brothers and sisters who shared with them the gospel in the first place. I think that that's so important. Yes, please, Jeff.
One of the key concepts is that we are one body.
Yes.
And nothing really quite allows us to share than when we give.
Yeah.
And then we actually do feel a part.
Exactly.
Of what's going on.
Yep.
If we're kind of just, I'm not sure about this. And by giving to the football field, now I feel a part.
Yes, right. That's true.
And whereas if I didn't give, I'm not so sure about football.
That's right. It's sort of investing of yourself, isn't it? Yes, good point. Okay, so my next question is, why would Paul entrust financial accountability and responsibility to men approved? Now, that's the key word there. Why? By men approved by the Corinthian believers. Why didn't Paul just go in and say, well, I'm coming there for a collection, I'll take care of it, and so forth. By men approved. What do you see his process here?
The integrity of the local church.
Integrity. And the integrity and the local church of saying, you know, it's from you. So you then participate in this whole process. You're just not giving a key and trusting me to go out there, but there's a sense of responsibility, accountability, integrity. I like that word. Good with that. Yes.
Yeah, about sharing. Also.
Yes.
There's a partnership in sharing. When Rick goes, are we going with you? We're with you, right?
Rick's just
no, I know James is coming with me.
See? But in a sense, so what you're saying is if we're partners with you in your ministry financially, there's a sense that we're with you as well. And I'm sure David feels the same way, you know. Here, he's a part of us here, but at the same time, you know, we're having a sense that he's representing us. And in a sense, you know, if anyone is signed up to go with him back to, I want to say Miramar, not Miramar.
Myanmar.
Myanmar.
I say Burma, Burma.
Okay, because you guys are going to end up with Miramar over here. Things are going on a plane ride or something like that. I steered wrong. So, anyhow. So, but now, underlying a lot of this, look at the next question. Well, underlying what underlying motive did Paul have for this collection? Now, I'd like someone to find Romans 15, 26 to 27, because there's something very similar here in Romans. Romans 15, 26, 27. Who would read that here? Anybody quick over here? Go ahead.
From Macedonia and, I don't even know how to say that.
Achaia.
Who were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings.
Beautiful. Now think about that. Now, he's saying, look, if the Jews have shared with you the spiritual blessings, participate with them in the material things as well. And I think that's kind of one of the real motivating factors. It's not only their need that's there, but the whole expression of the love part. You know what Fernando reminded us of. There's a love connection, which is really very important. And then on question number E, I want you to think about this. We've kind of talked about it already, but think about this: the practical principles for Christian living and giving can be found here. What are they? So let's kind of walk it through here. In other words, practical principles. Here, I'm going to list a few of these things, and you respond to me here. Practical principle number one is when does should this take place? What does he say here?
First day. That's payday.
Payday. Now, you need to stop and think of this. What is significant about the first day of the week? What day is it?
The Lord's Day.
Is it what?
Lord's Day.
It's the Lord's Day. Why is the Lord's Day?
Resurrection.
Resurrection. So it's not Monday, right? It's Sunday. First day of the week. Lord's Day. It's the day which Christ rose from the dead. And that's the bottom line as to why we worship on Sunday, not on Saturday. The celebration of the Saturday is the old creation. Remember, you're supposed to remember. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. We're now celebrating the new creation. The new creation in Christ. Because again, we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. The new life, the old life, you know, human life, now we have spiritual life, which is in Christ Jesus. So you see, there's a shift. So they began to assemble regardless on the first day of the week. So he says, when you're at worship, let's make this a part of it. All right? Now, who was to be a part of this? Okay, say it again, loud.
Everyone.
On the first day of every week, every one of you should set aside a sum of money. And how much? Whatever, okay? According to what you decide, according in keeping with your income. In other words, what he's saying here is don't look to the rich to settle everything. Oh, they got the money, let them, you know, chunk out the change. No, yeah, Obamacare, huh? Warren Buffett. Where is Warren Buffett when you want him? Yeah. But think about this. It's kind of interesting. I know the numerous building programs, you know, that we've been involved in as a church, and that was something we really tried to emphasize. The tendency is for a lot of us to look around and say, well, so-and-so, well, they own this company, and they own this. Oh, look at them. Let them shell it all out. But then you realize, wait a minute. What's important is that we're all a part of it. And maybe, you know, you can only, like this with the football field or something. So you have a buck. Wonderful. Thank you. You are a participant. You put in $100 or $1,000. Wonderful. But according to your income, Fernando.
Another translation of money is time.
Time
is money.
That's right.
If you got time, save some time.
Yeah.
To call somebody.
Right.
Who needs you? Who needs to help? I'm free. I pray by phone with
other
people.
That's wonderful.
And take time to dedicate it to the Lord.
Exactly right.
To do the Lord work.
Beautiful. And you also realize that sometimes when you think about time, it also takes time to make money. So time is your life. Time is a gift that God gives you. Now, how do you utilize it? Be a good steward of time. So we're looking at some principles here. Okay, so when, who, where, where. That's another one. Where. Now, it doesn't say specifically, though, but on the assumption of that we're worshiping, where do you think they worshiped? Local church. Did they have a local church? Really? Okay. Now, here, let's take a look. We're a little bit later here. We're going to find this out. I think it's here. It's a house church, okay? I forget the word. It's a little later here. The church that meets at so-and-so's house. Now, think about this. Now, synagogue, I would venture to say that the Christians, more and more, who were Gentiles, did not go to the synagogue. Okay, what's that? Verse 19. Thank you. Verse 19. Oh, I was glad when Stephanus, because 19, here you are, that's right. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings, blah, blah, Aquila, greet you warmly, and so does the church that meets at their house. That was what I was looking for, the house church, okay? But keep in mind now, I mean, you know, we think something, well, they all met at the synagogue. Well, maybe the Jewish Christians did for a period of time, but I got news for you, the Gentile Christians were not welcome at the synagogue. And I think more and more they begin to realize, no, it's not at the synagogue, because it's not a matter of us having to become Jews. It's a matter of us now Jew, Gentile together become the body of Christ. So we meet the first day of the week. And at the house church. At a house church, okay? And then what did they give? I think we talked about that already. How much? As they're
able.
And here, a great verse that really supports that is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Would someone read that for me? 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Who'd find that? Nibble fingers here. Who's got that?
Each of you,
here you go,
should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful.
Beautiful. Read the next verse too. I think it's awesome.
And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
That's a great passage. Great passage. Isn't that beautiful?
Using my technology there.
That's not even a Bible. Oh my goodness, what is this? But again, the whole idea again of...
Sounded average to me.
Did sound pretty good to you? All right. But you realize how important it is out of a cheerful heart. You know, I mean, and again, you hear Don Livers say, just for service, and I don't know what they do in the other services, but he'll often say, you know, well, we're going to take up our time and offerings at this time. And by the way, those of you who are visiting here this morning, and, you know, this may not be your church and so forth, you know, you don't have to feel any obligation. You just pass the offering plate past you and so forth. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Offering is from the family of God. See? Family of God. Go ahead.
You know, I still have the memories. As a very, very small child in downtown LA Church, even my grandma and grandpa. And all those things that lead you into the thinking of giving and how you give, what it is.
Yes.
And the very, very small amount that you're giving as a child for your birthday, say, for instance.
Right.
What I'm talking about.
Yes.
But this really gets into the whole area of a couple of things. Sacrifice and
yes.
trust.
Yes.
And the very top of the list in a Christian's life should be the top priority, Jesus Christ. Money is so close to the heart.
Yes, it is.
Boy. You are the one that decides.
That's right.
I like the way they put that in your head. You've decided in your heart.
In your heart.
So these are early learning
yes.
experiences
that's
that
right.
hold a person well into adulthood.
Exactly right.
All those many years, I trusted the Lord.
Oh, amen.
I did not have the money.
That's right.
It was sacrificial. I paid what I knew I should be giving.
Right.
It's between me and the Lord.
That's right.
And guess what the Lord did?
That's right. And you saw him continually bless you, didn't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. And it's living proof.
That's right.
And you can't live all these years.
That's right.
And say, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know that.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't come back to me. Kind of like what Bart was talking about.
Yeah.
How the Lord spoke to him in special ways.
Yes.
Because of
that exactly right. I agree. Fernando.
I never go to a fancy restaurant.
No, hey, wait a minute.
Hardy money.
Hey, did you hear that, Jack? He doesn't go to fancy restaurants.
We'll talk there.
Okay, all right, very good.
Now you can see me in Richard restaurant.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. I got my dog. I'm looking for people. Normally, what I'm saying, but an introduction to being the Word of God.
Okay.
And I got a person, I know he was a little blonde, and I ordered to the counter, I said, give him whatever he needs. And they know me already. And when I came back, he said, you know what you did? He took food for the whole week. I said, well, he's smart. He did it because he didn't want to see me every day over here.
For the whole week. Oh, that's a good one. I like that, Fernando. That's very good. Okay, now we'll conclude with question number F here. How should we decide? Oh, I think you talked about that. And with gratitude, we talked about that already. One thing here, as you move into this next section here, in this brief section, the Apostle Paul sets forth his commitment to the Lord's work as a priority in his journeys. But question A says, what personal plans did Paul share with the Corinthians? Read verse 5 and share with us what you read here. What plans did he have? What does the verse tell you? Someone read that.
He's to the temple of Macedonia.
Okay, read it.
Okay. I am coming to visit you after I have been to Macedonia. I am planning to travel through Macedonia.
Okay, now, notice something here. It is important to plan, isn't it? I just want you to look at this. We have to make plans. And Paul makes plans as well. And then this next question has to do with a vision and so forth, and turn the page. And he's expecting certain things. But what I really want you to leave with in this whole idea of plans, Proverbs, I got a verse here somewhere. Where did I put that again? Proverbs 16, verse 9. In Proverbs, I'll read that. Proverbs 16, verse 9. I think such a great passage. 16, 9. It says this. 9. Here we go. In his heart a man plans his course. The Lord determines his steps. And to me, that is so important. I remember, you know, years ago when I first started here, I didn't do much thinking about plans. You know, what are your goals for this next year? What do you hope to accomplish and so forth? Man, I just went out here, I just served the Lord, knocked on doors, and, you know, y'all come now, you know. You know, basically all, you know, I married and buried and baptized and, you know, blessed and did the best I possibly could. But then thinking about plans, and later on in my ministry, more of this became an important factor. But then the next verse, I think it's one of these questions I have here, but I'm going to jump you ahead here. But in James, where is that passage? Oh, James 4, 13-15. Keep a couple things in mind. Well, number one, it's very important that you do plan, but that always has attitude, as James 4, 13-15 tells us. Notice what it says. He says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, we'll spend a year here, carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or do that. As it is, you boast, you brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good ought to do and decide to do it. Now, what I find interesting is you've got to learn to keep a balance in your life. It's so important that you do plan. You have to sense, well, where are we going? What do you sense is on God's agenda? What should I be looking at? And you know, as time went on, then we began to realize, you know, we got to expand facilities and ministries and missions and missionaries, and you begin to look more and more around you. You see the needs of people in the community, and you know, it stirs your heart. So you begin to plan for these things, but then you always keep this reminder. You know, Lord, what is on your agenda? Maybe some things need to change. And we'll talk about this next week. Paul talks about a door opening. Doors opening, and if they open, he can shut them as well. And a classic illustration for me, anyway, is remember when we were Mr. Scott was looking at getting this these apartments down here on what was that called again? Summer homes, and we really saw that as an opportunity where we could help people who are going through financial crisis and provide a home, shelter, and so forth. And then all of a sudden, whoom, you know, there came a community that was, you know, hostile, and they were afraid we were going to, you know, just, you know, create all kinds of problems with riffraff people. I mean, this way. The
paper didn't help us.
The what?
The paper didn't help.
Oh, of course not. They take a certain attitude. But anyway, but the point again is, okay, Scott had a look at this. As disappointing as it was, he had to be able to, you know, that door is not open. Something else on God's agenda here. And to me, this is such a classic illustration, just in the way Paul looked at his life to realize, yes, I know I need to plan. I need to have a sense, God, what's on your agenda? What are you doing? But at the same time, to be able to say, Lord, help me to know when and how this is not according to your will. When should I stand up and fight? And when should I not?
because, boy, I tell you, it almost hit me between the eyes when we were thinking about all this, the building and everything like that. We're stuck over there at the, on the Vallejo campus, and I told you about the Los Rancheros folks. They did not want us there in terms of a large church and everything. And man, I mean, I'm ready to fight. I mean, I gird up the armor of God, man. I mean, I was ready to, you know, you want to fight? Okay, let's fight. You know, well, boy, I tell you, you know, I'm sure glad God shut that one down. What a, you know, what a reputation. You know, the fighting preacher. I mean, this guy's, he has a way of doing that. John, you had a comment there.
Yeah, well, some answer to some of your questions. Getting an introduction of the 13 and 5 talent praise stewardship. Planning ahead, both in your time, your preparation.
Right.
Learning to God's word with the talent.
Right.
And then with your monetary treasures.
Yeah, all those three things are important. Time, talents, treasures. Absolutely right. Dale.
Pastor, just like you said, he'll direct your path. You got to be moving.
You got to be moving.
Sitting in the chair.
That's right. Yeah, I think that, that's a good principle as well. You have to have a sense of, well, let's move, and then, but be on your knees too as you're moving. And because Paul was going in a certain direction, and he got a vision from a guy from Macedonia, and said, "Hey, we want you over here." And think, "Oh, well, okay," and moving in that direction, right?
No, you put the armor of God on if it fits.
If it fits. Well, I hope it fits. I mean, never told me here it wouldn't, okay? Never told me it wouldn't. All right. Awesome. Okay, guys, we're going to move into the next section over here, and let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for reminding us again what it is to belong to you and the fact that we want to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labor is not in vain. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul challenged Corinthian Christians to share in their love for their brothers who had deeds in a different area, and realizing also that there was a period of time where there was hostility between Jew and Gentile, and this is an expression of love. Father, I pray that we as well, as a church, may just have that sense as we're involved in missions and missionary work. As our brothers from mission fields, and David is here and reminds us how important it is that that we are blessings and we're encouragers and we lift people up, Father, in as they share the gospel. And thank you for Rick and for his involvement, and Rick Peterson and Penny, and it's the whole group of us, Father. We just thank you. But Lord, we realize that it is important for us to share these ministries, to be involved, to be able to say, Lord, we want people to come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I also want to say thank you for Rob's testimony here this morning. And Lord, what an awesome journey you have given him. And Lord, it gives us encouragement and hope as well as we take each day and walk with you. Thank you. Pray your blessing, and be especially with David tonight and tomorrow as he shares the work of ministry, and we give you the praise for it. We ask your blessing upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. God bless you.